welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
Do you have to hesitate and think about your name?
Well, now that Rob has pointed out that I should go back to my real name, since I'm not trashing companies that I work for.
I've always thought you should, only because if, you know, on our, if people follow our podcast, it says your name.
Hey, I'm Deirdre Anderson.
She's Deirdre Anderson, people.
I'm not Dee Dee McGrail.
And I bet next week you're going to say Dee Dee McGrail again.
No, I'm going to be Dee Anderson, I think, has a better flow.
Dee Anderson. Better flow.
Then Deirdre Anderson is too much.
Oh, like Laura Mangone, that's too much. How many syllables we have there?
Low Mangone, La Mangone.
La. My nickname is kind of La.
Okay, you're La Mangone.
No, can't do it. Sorry. Okay. Actually, my nickname is really Lala.
Is it really?
It has been for my whole life. Yep.
How about Lala Mangone? You sound like a stripper.
I know. I was going to say, it sounds like a porn star. No, not happening. Chi-Chi Rodriguez. Lala Mangone. No, not happening. I understand you've been doing some Christmas decorating, and what's happening behind you? You have a fire blazing.
I do. And I wanted to talk about, even though it's, no, we don't have video, I'm showing you the video of my little fire.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And it's so funny because it reminds me of one of the things that happens when you get old, because,
oh boy,
I was lucky enough in my younger
years. I'm older than you, so careful what you say.
Come on. And for many years in many different houses that I've lived in, I either had a wood stove that we relied on for heat. Mm-hmm. I lived in one house that was a 200-year-old house, and we had like 5 fireplaces in the house. We had one in the bedroom. We had one in the living room. And so I've always been kind of a fire snob. I never thought that I would ever have a gas fireplace. I just thought that was so lame.
Right.
And I remember a woman I used to work for, who you know, Jenny Hartshorn, her parents.
Yeah.
Always had a fireplace. And
beautiful.
Then when
yep.
they got older, and I can't remember, maybe they were in their 60s or so, they converted to gas. I think, if I'm remembering it correctly, and I remember thinking, oh God, I'm never going to do that.
Right.
And I mean, there were times when we had I had a house where we really relied on the wood stove for heat. We never wanted to turn on the heat. You know, I had one little baby. We didn't have a lot of money, mm-hmm. and we relied on it. So we would keep that fire going all day, and at night we would stoke it up, and then we would be in t-shirts and shorts at night because it got so hot.
Right.
But then at 4 in the morning, I would have like gloves and jackets and stuff, right. and sweatpants, because it would get cold, the fire would go out.
It sounds exactly like, so when we lived in Surgeonsville, our house, our family room had no heat, none. So right. we had a wood stove, and it had very tall, it had, you know, like vaulted ceilings. So right. of course all the heat ends up there. Right. We used to, I can't tell you how many, I think we would get like 3 cords of wood every year.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is a freaking struggle. You know, of course, when they come to deliver it, they just dump it right in the middle of the driveway.
And you have to stack it.
And we would stack it. And not only would we stack it like out by the shed where it was a little bit protected, we had like 5 different places where we had it. And the biggest place that we had it was in between our cars. I mean, I know this sounds she-she because it's still, we had a garage, but in the garage, in between our cars, on both sides of our cars and in between our cars, we would have like, you know, up to our eyeballs stacked wood. Right. And we would use that wood first, and then we would bring the wood from the shed in. And, you know, as if it was a nicer day and not a blizzard outside, we would try to pack as much as we could in the garage so we wouldn't have to go outside basically to get wood.
Right.
But holy crap, we would pack that thing, and it was a Vermont casting, so it, like, you could get it up to temperature and then shut it down. So it basically was, it was like a catalytic converter, and it was burning its own smoke. And even if we would pack that thing to the gills and shut it down right before we went to bed, when we would get up in the morning, there, like, the stove itself would be hot, but the room would be like cold. So.
Right. And I remember when we first moved in, my first place that had a wood stove that we were really dependent on for heat.
Uh-huh.
Very careful. It's very messy. You know,
it's totally messy.
The fireplace is always messy, but I was very careful in the beginning. I would have my little L.L. Bean carrier, you know, the canvas carrier that I would very carefully bring in the wood. And I was very careful. And I remember one night coming home and it was late. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a baby at the time. And I remember we opened the sliding door to the back,
right.
And I literally just was throwing logs into that. I was like, screw the carrier, just throw those babies in there. I'll clean up later. But so now I never thought I would say this, but I have a gas fireplace. I literally take a light switch and turn it on. And I'm like, oh man, this is the way to go.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Because, you know, who wants to be lugging wood, number one? I mean, nothing smells as good as wood. I mean, it smells good, but certainly the convenience of it. And I think it's really interesting. So when you moved in, that fireplace that was upstairs, that was like hanging off the wall, that thing was wild.
Well, that's another, now mind you, anyone who's listening, remember it is a food show.
We'll get to food eventually.
We're going to be talking about food, and one of my topics is going to be foods for Hanukkah, and vegan foods for Hanukkah. But the fireplace that we had when we moved in was called, it's an ethanol fireplace, and we thought it was very strange.
It was interesting how it was just on that, like, you know, now everybody can probably picture this, because nowadays if you put a bracket on the wall for your, you know, your thin TV, I mean, that's basically, it was just a bracket on the wall, and this fireplace was up on it. It was crazy.
And we thought about putting it in our bedroom and seeing how we felt about it, but I wound up trying to sell it on Facebook for $100. I looked it up. They're like, the size that we had was about $400 retail.
Right.
So we tried to sell it for $100. Nobody wanted it. Actually, one person sent me a message and said, asking for dimensions. And I had so many people asking me for things and what's this and what's that. I kind of dropped the ball.
Right.
So then when nothing was selling on Facebook Marketplace, artwork, any number of things, I just decided to put everything for free because we want to get rid of it.
Right.
This woman reaches out to me.
Uh-huh.
And this is kind of a sweet holiday story. She reaches out to me and she said, I see that your ethanol fireplace is now free. I'm still interested, but I would still like to pay you a little bit something for it.
Good.
I gave her the dimensions and she said, that's perfect. And so we had set up this time, and it was just about a week ago that she was going to come. And so this woman comes and she, you know, was telling me, she said, well, you know, I've been through some hard times. You know, I got divorced. I, you know, had to move into this house. And then my mother moved in with us. And so she is actually on the third floor. And for some reason, the third floor in the house doesn't get that warm. And I thought maybe...
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Usually it's the opposite.
It is the opposite. She said, I thought maybe it would be nice for her not only to give a little bit of extra warmth, but just to give her that sense of a fireplace.
Right.
And so we're walking over to the car and I'm carrying it out. And there was a big box in the back of her car. And she said, oh, I do deliveries for food pantries.
Oh, wow.
Who, you know, don't have enough food. And I actually have an extra box of food. Would you like it?
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, well, no, I don't need it. But that's so wonderful. She said, if you know of anyone who can use it, you know, I'll use it. But I'd rather give it to someone who needs it.
How nice.
So I said, oh, that's so sweet. And then it comes down to the money time.
Yeah.
And she said, look, I want to give you something. So she handed me $20 for the, for the fireplace. And I took it and I put it back in her hands. And I said, no, I think I would like to give this to you.
Oh, good.
God bless you for doing what you do.
Right.
And,
So explain to me that. So what is it? Has a reservoir in it that you pour the ethanol into?
So it's like, we never actually did it, but we looked into it. There's these little rocks at the bottom. So it's a reservoir and it's got like a glass encased front.
Right.
Little stones. And then apparently you pour in the fuel and you light the fuel and it's supposed to be perfectly safe and all this stuff. The fuel, by the way, is like $50 for a case of, you know, who knows how long it lasts.
50 or 15?
50.
50. Okay.
So that's another reason why we wanted to give it away for free. Because if you commit to this, you've got to buy the fuel.
You've got to buy the fuel. Right.
But,
well, that's nice that you gave it to her.
Yeah. It felt.
Did you ever hear back? I wonder if her mother loves it. Like it's working out for them.
I would like to find out. I'll reach out to her. She was really just such a sweet gal. And,
awesome.
And alternatively, there were other items that I wanted to give away. And of course, when you're giving stuff away for free, you get a lot of people who are, let's just say, maybe you don't want them to know where you live.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So I started looking at profiles before I would give out my address, because you would not believe, like, some of the people, like, with crazy.
Well, and that's why a lot of people don't give out their address. They say, I'll meet you at the Dunkin' Donuts on the corner. You know, they give a...
I know. So,
or you give a fake address, you know, across the street. You give somebody else's address.
So another woman reached out to me about some picture frames and some other things that she was interested in, but she didn't drive. So she would have to figure out, you know, how to get a ride. So I decided, after I meet this lady who's giving away food for food pantries, I said, you know what? I will bring it to you.
Right. I'll drop it off. I knew that's what you were going to say.
So I load up my car with all this stuff.
Good.
I go and meet this woman in a not so great area. And it was kind of strange. There were all these little houses, kind of like houses all packed together, but they all had various apartment numbers. And I said, hey, so what is this? Does one person own all of these units? And she said, well, it's low income housing. And I said, oh, okay. Well, are you happy here? Do you like it? Mm-hmm. She said, no, I'm trying to get out. There's a lot of gang violence.
Oh, geez. All right.
This is a few miles from my house.
Oof.
So I was like, what?
Like Phillipsburg or?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There's some bad pockets. Yep.
So what was very interesting to me is that she tells me this sad story about her life and her boyfriend's in jail and all this stuff. And then when I'm bringing all this stuff up to her, she barely recognized the gesture of me bringing her the stuff. It was almost like,
thank you.
Profusely.
Thank you. I couldn't think of a word.
No, it was like, yeah, thanks. I'll see you later. Like, it was almost expected,
You're doing it to be a big, good person. You're not doing it for the kudos.
Oh, no. But it was interesting, the different types of people that are out there. There's some people that kind of expect stuff to happen, but.
Right. Anyway, exactly.
There are others that are constantly doing things for others.
Right. But, so yeah, so I've purchased a lot of things online used to get stuff on Craigslist, and I have one incident where, what a freaking idiot I was. I mean, this was a long time ago. This is like when Craigslist probably first came out, and I think one of our computers at work died, and I needed a CPU, like I needed a new tower. I didn't need all the components. I didn't need a monitor. I didn't need a keyboard. I didn't need, all the peripheral stuff. And I bought a computer unit off of this person who lived in Newark. And I, like an idiot, I went in the house.
Oh,
and I thought about it as I was going to the house. No, it's a miracle. I mean, I think I would have, I mean, certainly I think I could defend myself, number one. Number two, radar went up a little bit, like when I was getting out of the car and I texted Mario and I told him the address where I'm going in, I'm going to be in this house for 2 seconds. And even he at that point, I guess I was just trusting at that point. He didn't even like, you know, red flag, like don't go in the person's house.
Right. And it wasn't even the Ironbound section of Newark. It was like,
no, it was not. It was not in a good neighborhood. And it wasn't like I had really even thought, like I wasn't going to go in. Like I wasn't even thinking, am I going in? Am I not going in? It's just like, I got to the door and he said, oh yeah, it's right in here. And I just like, you know, he held the door and I just stepped in, and it's not like I went deep into the house. I was within a couple of feet of the front door. But when I left, I'm like, what a freaking idiot you are. Like,
right.
This is pre Craigslist killer. This is pre, you know, this is way before,
right.
You know, you hear all this crap, you know,
right. This woman, when I went to the bad neighborhood and I said, well, it looks fine to me. And she said, well, it's fine during the day, but at night, you know, I've been held at gunpoint. I was like, all right, oh so God. I have to go. if there's anything else that
the
I can do.
The sun is going to be setting in 5 minutes and I'm out of here.
All right,
we are running out of time. When we come back, food.
Hanukkah food.
Hanukkah food, and I made, well, kind of Christmas Eve food. Something that I usually have for Christmas Eve, and I know I'm not going to have it this year. So I went ahead and made it myself.
Nice.
All right, we will be back.
Non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
All right, my dear, we are back.
Back.
Do you recall what I usually have every Christmas Eve?
Well, yeah.
Do you recall the thing that I make that I love that I only have on Christmas Eve? And we've talked about it before.
Yeah, we talk about it every year.
And I know you love it, but you usually, this is totally going to give it away. You usually don't make it because you need a few days for the prep. Or the
baklava.
Soaking. Yeah, baklava stew. Oh my gosh. And Deirdre, you live too far away now. Because if you were closer, I would bring you a whole big bunch of it. So I made, and it really is Mario's grandmother's recipe. And it's so funny because when they would do the Feasts of the Seven Fish, which basically in my in-laws, well, I mean, they wouldn't do a ton of them. What I've done over the years is it's like the Feast of the 14 Fish. You know, I do way more than seven. Right. Just because you're doing it, why not just do it up? But they would make, his grandmother would make this little pot full. It was like literally like a quart. And when I make it, I make like gallons of it. Like I love it. Yeah. Plus it's so good left over. It freezes like a dream. It
beautifully. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Actually, I can bring you some. I have some frozen. I forgot. I can bring you some frozen.
Remember, the reason why I've never committed to the bacalao stew that you told me about, because you've been telling me this for years now,
right?
Is because it's such a commitment. It's a 3-day commitment in terms of soaking the fish and then draining the fish and
changing the water.
Changing the water. Yep. And I did do it. I think it was last year. I did do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really wonderful. You know, when I think about it, this year I actually have the week off after Christmas, so I might take that week to do a little bacalao stew. But tell everybody again.
Yeah, I'll go through the recipe a little bit. It's so good. I don't know. I guess I just love fish.
Me too.
I just love everything. It's not a problem. It's just, that's my issue. I love everything. So bacalao, you can get in any grocery store. You can usually get it in any, obviously, seafood market. And it is sold, it's salted cod, which has been around for, you know, thousands of years. It's the oldest way of preserving fish, especially in the Nordic countries. It's like the go-to way of getting your fish. So it comes and it is literally hard as a rock, and you soak it in water generally for 3 days, and you change the water a couple of times each day. And basically you're just rehydrating it. So the salt is, you know, as the water is absorbed, the salt is lessening and lessening and lessening. When it's then, you know, it's basically just rehydrated cod. I mean, you could make the same dish with fresh cod, but because it's
so different.
It's so different because the consistency is different, because the process of salting it and having it preserved in that way and then rehydrating it, it sort of toughens up the skin, the fish, the flesh.
But that's what's so specific about doing a dried cod dish like this. It's well, yes, the flavor, the salt, whatever, but the consistency of the fish, it holds its own.
It holds its own. You're right.
It doesn't disintegrate like a fresh cod would. And there's actually a little bit of a chew to the.
There's a little bit of a chew to it, and quite frankly, if you soak it properly, it should not be salty. I mean, it should be so hydrated that it's really not that salty. I don't usually hydrate it as much because I want that salt. I mean, I love salt, so I want the salt.
Here's a question. We've talked about salted cod for years, but here's a question to you. What is the process of drying the cod and salting the cod?
Oh, haven't you ever seen there's pictures of drying racks. Up in Alaska, they do it with salmon. The American Indians did it out west. They salt it. So basically you pack it in salt, fresh cod, you pack it in salt.
Right.
And then after a couple of days, and it's in there for days, and all the moisture is sucked out, because think about if you spill red wine on a tablecloth, you put salt on it to absorb the, you know, the moisture. And then it's hung out to dry, but they hang it out like clothing racks. It's very cool.
Outside.
I'll post a picture. It's very cool.
I would like to consider making my own salt cod, because another factor that dissuades me is It's very expensive.
It is expensive.
Bulk condoms, very expensive. And I wonder if we were to just do it on our own, maybe once a year.
Yeah, and I mean,
have salt cod whenever you want.
I mean, it would have to be a process. You would have to really do it, you know, just like when you're pickling something, you know, you need to make sure that you've got every speck of moisture out of it or bacteria is going to start forming. I mean, there's an art to it.
Right.
But I'll find a picture and post it. Yeah, the drying racks are actually pretty cool. When Mario and I were in Nova Scotia, they had drying racks all along a beach. It's a cool process. Anyway, so I rehydrate the cod.
Okay.
And then I cut it up into chunks. And to start the stew, I saute in half oil, half butter, a ton of onions and leeks. And I use the white part of the leeks and the green part, not the tough ends, but white and green parts of the leeks.
So explain to listeners, because, you know, I don't think everybody understands when with leeks, they always say white parts only, but that also means the pale green parts are okay. It's just when you get up to the dark green.
The darker greens at the end that are woody and stalky and very dry. Yeah, exactly. It's like the tip of a piece of asparagus. That's why you trim asparagus. It's like just woody and stalky at the end.
Broccoli or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. So I sauteed those onion and leeks. Till they're pretty, you know, I sort of sweat them. I put a cover on it and I sweat them until they're almost translucent. Mm-hmm. Then I put some garlic in. Then I put in a little bit of tomato product. I don't put a lot. I'll either put tomato paste or I'll crush up a couple of canned tomatoes in my hand. I cut up, and this is Mario's grandmother's recipe. This is Nana's recipe. You dice up a couple of peeled potatoes, put that in.
Okay.
You put in some Kalamata olives, because again, if you're soaking it, most of the salt is gone, so it's okay to put more salt back in. She would also put celery in it that I sort of omit. I don't know. It just, I don't like it in it. I just don't. I put a lot more leeks than she did. So the quantity of leek and celery that she would put in, I put probably twice that of just leek. And then you can put water and fish stock. I usually do half water, half clam broth.
Okay.
And that little bit of tomato product, I crush a couple of cloves of garlic in there, and I just let it cook down until the potatoes are tender. Mm-hmm. And then I stir in the bacala. And once the bacala goes in, I maybe cook it for about 5 minutes.
Really?
Simmered. Yeah. Generally what I do is when we're serving like Christmas Eve, you know, over the years we have done it at Chambers Walk and I've got a big vat of this. What I most often would do is I would get that broth nice and hot and then turn it off and then just put the cod in and stir it and leave it, you know, and then we're going on with different courses. You know, by the time we get to the stew, the cod has been cooked perfectly and it's...
Because you leave it at just a warm temperature and you just...
Warm temperature that, you know, it's basically cooking from the heat that's already in the pot from the veg. Mm-hmm. So good. So,
you're inspiring me. I was wondering what we were going to do for Christmas Eve because, again, you know, just like we got through Thanksgiving with just Don and myself.
Right.
It looks like Christmas Eve is going to be Don and myself. So we're more focusing on redoing our bathrooms.
Okay.
We are on eating. We're just okay, let's get the bathroom done.
So you may be having sandwiches again? Well, why don't you make a vat of stew?
I think I will. I was trying to think of what I could make that would be special. And, you know, because we make great food when we really put our minds to it. We make great food whenever we want. We don't, you know, day-to-day cooking for us. Last night, I made a double turkey burger for Dawn.
Nice.
You know, frozen turkey burger. I did two of them.
Uh-huh.
I made them with cumin and chili powder and salt and pepper. And I just had these frozen Kaiser buns, which I realized are really only good for burgers and stuff. They're a little dry for sandwiches. And it was like the best burger because I had the two patties and all those cheeses went in the, and I thought, okay, from now on, I'm not going to make you two separate turkey burgers. I'm going to make,
make it double.
We don't eat really well every single night. Sometimes I make ravioli. Sometimes I make them, you know, a soup, and we have it with garlic bread. So we don't go all out.
Right. But
I was thinking for Christmas Eve, and again, probably the next segment, we'll talk about Hanukkah foods. It's the
first
Hanukkah tonight. But I was thinking about doing like a bouillabaisse or something.
Nice.
You know, I've done bouillabaisse all the time. I really don't do the baklava stew a lot, and that might be a
I'm telling you what, it is so, it's so satisfying to me. It holds forever. And it's,
and with garlic bread, oh.
I know, and that's all you need. Oh, I mean, you could do, obviously you can have a salad with it, but you just need bread and the stew and you're done. Although I have to say, my favorite thing, my real honest to God favorite thing is on Christmas Eve is to take the pasta with anchovies and put a big scoop of the baklava stew on top of it. So I mix it all together because then it's got the, anchovy and the pasta and the garlic and
Oh, God. So now, good. Maybe we'll get, as we get a little bit closer to Christmas Eve, we'll talk maybe a little bit more. And I think, so I have to ask you before we talk about Hanukkah foods, which might be next segment, I'm not sure, but.
Yes.
What are you, with COVID, what are you doing for Christmas Eve?
Well, I'm having surgery next week, remember?
Right.
So I am out of, I'm not functioning.
Right. So you have the surgery, what, around the 18th? Or
The 18th. So a week later.
You're not doing shiitake for Christmas Eve.
I'm not. I have to say Annie's kid, Annie's girls will be down and they get themselves tested before they come. They came down for Thanksgiving as well.
Okay, but can we stop right there?
Yeah.
You know, okay, let's do a COVID segue.
Okay.
For the holidays, okay? I know it's a food show.
Yes.
I read a post on Facebook where someone was, who was a total Trump supporter saying, and she copied and pasted some bullshit about how you know, you're losing a year of your life by you know, quarantining and not being with your family and you don't know what tomorrow brings and, you know, you're just-
Yeah, what a bunch of bullshit. I've been seeing those things too. And the things that are saying, they're saying like, you know, why miss out on a holiday when you know, this could be someone's last holiday. Well, duh. And Dr. Fauci is hysterical because he's like, okay, have everybody over for Thanksgiving. You may be having a funeral by Christmas.
I know it might be. And you know, the sad thing is when you're dealing with an elderly person, like a, you know, a person who really might expire, you know,
right.
And the idea of not being with them, I get it. I get how hard that is, but
absolutely,
it's, you know what? They were going to die anyway. It's part of life. It's part of life. You know, you can FaceTime with those people. You can.
Yes.
You know, so anyway, to just expound on this Facebook post, she said, you know, she's copying and pasting some bullshit about, you know, how we're losing, you know, a year of our lives and we're going to look back and regret. So with this particular quote unquote friend, I use quote marks, which I normally, she's a big Trumper and I just don't comment anything. I just don't say anything. And every one of her quote unquote friends is always in agreement with her. They're all Trumpers. They all think this is a big farce. You know, you shouldn't be doing this. One of her quote unquote friends said, well, easier said than done. Thanksgiving, they were so desperate, yes, to have their family over.
Yeah.
That, and there was only going to be about 10 people. So they quarantined, or they didn't really, I'm not going to say they quarantined because I don't think they did, but they COVID tested before everyone came over.
Right.
9 out of 10 of them got COVID because someone brought it in the house.
Yeah, and you wonder what tests they're doing, you know, because some people are doing the rapid tests, which are pointless. They're like 50% accurate. If you do a PCR,
you can have a negative COVID test and be transferring the disease the next day. So anyway, this woman was saying, you know, I wish we would have been a little more patient.
Yeah.
Because now 9 out of 10 of us have it. We feel like a truck has hit us. We're in day 5. We're worried about what's going to happen. I would say moving forward, don't even do that. Just be patient. We're almost at the
spring. Be patient.
We're almost there.
And in our defense, we're 4 people. And we keep away from each other.
keep away from each other.
And
but
I'm going to be on the couch, probably on painkillers. not doing a thing. Okay, all right, we are running out of time. When we come back, we're talking Hanukkah food.
That's right.
Be right back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Explore the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville and be part of the fun. Shop in the area's most unique stores, from antiques to toys to apparel, and you're sure to find a one-of-a-kind treasure. Make a reservation at one of Lambertville or New Hope's variety of dining options for dinner, wine, beer, or an artisan cocktail. Indoors or out, grab an ice cream cone to enjoy by the river for the first Friday fireworks. Create memories that will last a lifetime at the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville, where everyone is welcome. Visit DelawareRiverTowns.com.
We're back. So I have to ask you before, I know you were just talking about your surgery, but is there any way you could get as many painkillers as you possibly can and give me a
couple? They already gave me the script. I'm picking them up tomorrow and I got 30.
30 what?
You know, the good ones. I'm going to be in pain, sister. They're from my hip.
Once you're not in pain, like, I just need to.
You think there's going to be any left?
Oh, come on.
Stop. We'll talk about it later.
We can't talk about anything controversial on the show. I forgot. Anywho. She's so mad at me.
No, I'm not. So, Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
Traditional Hanukkah foods. Kind of like Passover foods, like latkes, like potato pancakes and brisket, and yes or no?
Yes, and I'm not sure if there's a differentiator for, you know,
Passover versus
you know, Passover versus Hanukkah. I believe it's similar. It's kind of the traditional foods, but for my client, my Jewish client, who I love so much, The first day of Hanukkah is today. So at sundown, my little kids that I take care of, that I watch, are having their first gifts. And all day, my six-year-old was saying, I want to open it now. I want to open it now. And Mama and Papa were like, sundown, dude, sundown. We can't do it yet. You know, and he was just all day. He was obsessed with it.
That's so
and
funny.
So what I was doing for them was latkes, you know, for that's all they're going to have tonight is like kind of salad and latkes. And they're
for those
vegan.
That don't know, latkes are like potato pancakes.
Yes. And one of the, I don't have a lot of experience with latkes. There was a period of time on my catering menu that I had mini latkes as an hors d'oeuvre, but they're not, you know, as an Irish Catholic, they're not part of what I grew up with.
Right.
So what I did was I looked at a few recipes and it said that you can grate the potatoes like in a Cuisinart, but it's actually better if you can grate them, it's a better texture. So
yes,
that's what I did.
And you want all that juice. Yep.
Well, the juice, you're actually squeezing out a lot of the juice.
Not in the recipes I use, not in the Molly Brown Jewish New York cookbook. You want the juice because it's the starch. I never drain them. Even when I do like, if I do zucchini pancake, you know, rather than potato pancakes, if I make zucchini pancakes, I keep all that juice in there.
Really?
Yeah.
That goes against like every recipe I've ever read.
Well,
which
no, that's what I'm saying. I have Molly Brown's New York Jewish cookbook. And
I think I used to have Molly Brown's cookbook, but
yeah,
the recipes
book.
That I looked at was all about grating the potato, salting those grated potatoes, and then weighing it down in a colander with paper towels and pushing the juice out. I'm just saying that's.
Now hers is you scrape, you know, grate it into a bowl, you grate onion into it.
Right.
Egg, salt, pepper, flour. That's it. That's pretty much it. That's the whole recipe.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting that you don't get rid of any of your liquid because right. I'll have to confer with.
Ooh, now I want potato pancakes.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good right now?
Yes. And I you like them
with a little sour cream and caviar on it.
Oh. Sour cream and applesauce for me.
No, I want I want the salty fish, like a salmon roe or. But anyway, so the fact that they're vegan gives me a lot of, now this is what I've done tonight, and I'm going to talk to them this weekend about, oh, and one of the things I'm doing this weekend for my vegan client, they're not hardcore, as in once in a while, they have clams and scallops, and basically that's because they don't have a brain. And even though they're
hysterical,
I don't think it's hysterical.
It's still a living thing. Isn't that the whole concept?
I know, but there was a period about, 35 years ago when I worked for the catering company in Princeton and we did a lot of work for the philosophy department at the university. And this was the first time I was exposed to the idea of they don't eat meat and they don't eat fish. But they will eat, because they're the philosophy department, they will eat anything without a brain.
Okay.
So some people will say, okay, that's where I draw the line. Laura, I'm happy they can have a freaking scallop, okay?
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm going to do a bouillabaisse for them this weekend with just scallops and clams.
Nice.
And so I'm just going to make the base and the roux, and then they can throw in their scallops and clams when they're ready to eat.
Right.
And one of the nice things, I don't know if you've ever been to Metropolitan Seafood in...
Of course I have. I love it.
Okay. So it's very expensive. Okay. You know, good tuna is $40 a pound and, you know, shiitake like that. But one thing that they do, which is and this is where I think they really got the market. 25 years ago, I went into that place. I was catering something. I decided to get a whole salmon, like a whole salmon before anything happened.
Right.
And then I realized that scaling it was going to kill me. So I bring my salmon.
Why was it going to kill you?
Because it was a freaking mess and I didn't know what I was doing. 25 years ago. 30 years ago. Okay. So I go into Metropolitan Seafood and I said, look, this is really, I didn't buy this fish from you, but I need help. Like, I haven't done the scaling and the gutting thing yet. And I bought this whole fish. The guy took it in the back.
Yeah.
He scaled it.
Yep.
He gutted it.
I love the noise it makes when you scale a fish. That, love it. Yeah.
And he scaled it and he gutted it. And I'm sitting there sort of ashamed of myself, like, oh God, I'm not a real cook, you know, like I can't do this stuff. Right. And he did it, and I'm expecting to pay for this. Right. And I said, thank you so much. You just saved my life because I have this dinner party coming up that I'm being paid for. Mm-hmm. And I said, how much do I owe you? And he said, nothing. And I said, nothing? You just scaled and gutted a fish that I did not buy from you?
I know, but it took him like 30 seconds.
And he not only did that, but he took two lemons. And this is what they do. They charge a bloody fortune with yep. everything. They took two lemons and they said, no charge. Here's two lemons. And they threw it in the bag. And I walked out and I thought, who does that?
I know. It's a great company. I love them.
It is a good company.
They have the best seafood salad I've ever purchased, like pre-made seafood salad. They have a really good scongeli salad. And by seafood yeah. salad, I mean with a vinegar base, not a, you know, not a mayonnaise base.
Right.
So good.
So I went in today. Now, over the years,
my mom and I would go there and get little containers of all sorts of salads and their delicious bread. They have that lavash bread.
Bread.
Oh my God. And we'd have a picnic somewhere. Love it.
They have, I mean, it's a great store.
It's a great store.
And Mark, who owns it, has done a phenomenal job of yep. over 30 years of yep. building this business from a little tiny little shop in Clinton to like a real store on Route 22.
And they're in the Stockton, they've been in the Stockton farmers market forever.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I don't, over the years, I don't go there a lot, even though I have gone there since my experience with the free scaling and gutting of the fish,
uh-huh.
with lemons. I do go in on occasion, but I can't afford it. It's a very expensive place.
Uh-huh.
So today, 30 years later, I went in for my client. It happens to be about a couple of miles from my client's house, and I'm making uh-huh. space for them. And I said, I'll just pick it. They said, oh, we'll get the fish. I said, no, I'll pick up the, they have frozen scallops. I'll pick up the clams.
Right.
So I went there on the way home from work. I got two dozen clams, which were about $20 for two dozen. You know, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
And what else did I get? I got two bottles of clam juice at $3 a pop, you know, mm. all right, you know, a little right. overpriced. But then I said to the guy, do you have any dried thyme? Because I want to make the bouillabaisse. They have saffron, and I like to do, I would prefer fresh thyme,
right.
but I didn't assume that they had it. So he said, well, we don't have thyme, but we actually, in the back, we do have fresh thyme.
Oh.
So I said, okay, so can I buy some of that? And he said, yeah, I'll be right back. So he comes out with this little bag, and it was probably like an inch of, you know, a cluster of
right.
And I said, oh, how much is that? And he said, oh, it's free. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you know what? When you're charging higher prices, I think that's appropriate.
It is. And so yeah. I go but up.
And it leaves a nice taste in the customer's mouth.
It yeah. does. It's brilliant what he's done. And so I spent $30 on the clams and the clam juice and two red peppers for the roux that I'm going to mm-hmm. make. But then they threw in this bunch of fresh thyme and two lemons.
Yep.
And I left thinking, you know what? That is the way to do business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like just give them something, like overcharge them for some stuff, but then throw them something that they can't get anywhere else.
Exactly. Yeah, perfect.
I think now I went off on a tangent and I haven't talked about my...
So, that's okay. So I just want to mention something. So
yeah.
I can't remember where I heard this. It might have been, so on occasion when I'm driving back from the city, I, depending on what time it is, I listen to New Jersey 101.5.
Yeah.
I like, although I am not simpatico with a lot of their conversations, I sometimes listen to... There are two people that are on in the afternoon. It's Dennis and Judy. I don't know if you've ever listened to them.
I kind of don't like them, but yeah.
Sometimes they have an interesting conversation, or they have people calling in, and sometimes the topic is interesting, so I'll listen. And this was one of the days where they sometimes do like these little like quiz shows, and they ask people questions to win whatever they're winning. You know, I don't know if they're winning concert tickets or they're winning whatever. And they were just doing these like random trivia questions. Oh my gosh. You know what? That's not right. I just realized who it was. It's on NPR and it's called Ask Me Another, or Wait, Don't Tell Me. That's what it is. It's that program on NPR. That's who it was.
When do you hear this show on NPR? Because I listen to NPR.
It's every Saturday morning when I'm driving into Uncle Joe. So it's between 8 and 9.
Listening to NPR.
Yeah. Every Saturday morning, it's Wait, Don't Tell Me, and then it's Ask Me Another. So the question was, and they give like three questions, and two of them are true and one of them is false. Mm-hmm. And the questions were about, it was like ear, nose, and throat, or eyes and ears, or something like that. Guess how many eyes a scallop has? I'm bringing this up because you mentioned scallops.
Okay, I give up.
A scallop has over 200 eyes. Isn't that crazy? All along the shell. Every little groove, there's like 5-10 little eyes in that.
Wow.
Isn't that wild? I know.
You see my big mouth, it's called my spanky mouth.
Shocker. Whoa. Yeah. So the whole time you were talking about scallops, I was thinking about the eyes of the scallop.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Anywho, well, they might not have a brain.
But they have over 200 eyes. You might want to share that with your...
I think my vegan clients might have to give up the scallops.
Yeah, don't tell them that. Don't ruin it. Don't tell them.
But if they don't have brains, what do the eyes do? Like, what do the eyes see? What are the eyes...
I think they have brains.
Laura.
Well, you're right. What is an eye doing? It's just an eye? I'm going to have to look it up when we get off.
Maybe it doesn't do any. I'm fascinated right now. Like,
I know. So look it up when we get off. We'll both look it up.
All right.
So look at that.
So we're losing time, and I'm trying to talk about Hanukkah food. We might have to bring it into next week, but
we might have to spread it into next week.
Matzo ball soup.
It will still be Hanukkah. So.
Yeah, I know. By next Thursday, it'll be Hanukkah. Did you just hiccup?
What?
I thought you just hiccuped.
No.
Okay. So, matzo ball soup. Never made it in my life.
Oh, I've made it. And I've made it a couple of times. The first couple of times, the matzo balls were like lead balloons. They were bad, really, really bad.
Really dense?
The key is to whip egg whites and fold it into the mixture.
Okay, I hear you. Yeah. But what if you have a vegan client? What's the binder? You can't use eggs.
You got me, baby.
All right.
Well, no. You could use your cashew cheese. That gets whipped up, right?
No, the cashew.
I mean the cashew cream.
Cashew cream is not a good binder. It's I think I read a recipe. I'm going to try to get it up here. No, shoot, it's not up here. Oh yes, it's got, for the matzo balls, it's got matzo meal, baking powder. So baking powder must be the binder, ground flaxseed, plus
yeah,
water.
Yeah, but those are, I mean, the powder is gonna be the leavening thing. So that would make it a little bit lighter, but still you need that chemical reaction. You need something to be light in there.
I know.
I don't know.
And I never even made the real version versus the vegan version. So I have no idea if it's going to be good, but I'm going to propose it to them.
So we have some homework to do, and we will report back next week, and we will, since it still will be Hanukkah, we will.
And just before your surgery.
Yep.
So I'm thinking you're going to have your surgery next Friday, so you should really not miss a show.
I'm not missing a show.
Okay.
I may be a little dopey on the one after the 18th, but I'm not missing
a show. Nail me a couple, okay? Exactly. Just nail me a couple of those.
All right, my sweetheart. We are running out of time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. More Hanukkah food next week.